chest, speaking with your mouth. Five ring kings is what we're talking about. From Mars to the V-Rock, everybody shout. L-A-L-A, big city of dreams, but everything in L.A. ain't always what it seems. You might get fooled by those other guys in town, but we're down by law. We know our way around too much.
L.A. is your house. This is episode 322. I'm here with David and Lewis.
Hey, hey.
What's up, everybody?
And this is Bobby coming back from another week, an away game, a win, a nut. Well, it was a big win, you guys. 3-1 against San Jose, an away game. Painsill, incredible performance. Puj, incredible performance. Jovalić, another goal, an assist. An assist to Puj. I mean, what's happening here? What's
surreal,
happening here?
Surreal, incredible performance. Delgado.
Yeah, incredible. Continue. You can continue.
Yamane.
I think you're better
Yamane,
off.
Yamane, aka Yamaha.
Yeah.
Incredible performance.
You could continue.
I think you'd have a.
There was
a
little
much
mistakes.
Harder...
There was mistakes, but there was little mistakes.
No, you'd have a harder time finding who didn't have a good performance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you're gonna have to do it with the lowest ranked player when we get to it. But yeah, this Galaxy team is something else. Wow. I mean, there's a reason why every Galaxy fan is optimistic and they're enjoying sure. it.
And we should.
Look we it. Should. 100%. We
look
should.
It. I understand the hesitation of all, Galaxy, of all Galaxy fans out there. I understand it. But look it. Let's enjoy it when we can. Because that was an incredible performance. That, I mean, of course, San Jose must. I mean, they do suck in general. But that was an incredible performance from us. I mean, that Painsill. That attacking winger, like that's what we've been waiting for. That's exactly what we've been waiting for. Someone to challenge these defenders straight forward. Someone to have pace to hit as long, continue with Puj. Delgado, oh my God. That guy is in a whole different level right now. Like I said in the Balls and Beers, this fool is cheeky now.
It's funny, Bobby, because was it last year, Lewis, or the year before, where he had the most line-breaking passes in the entire league?
It was 2 years ago where he had a good performance. He was a really good number eight. He was going box to box
for the Galaxy, yeah, and had the highest number of like
line-breaking passes, yeah,
and line-breaking passes in the entire league, not just for the Galaxy, the entire league.
And then last year he didn't do that.
Well, I mean, that wasn't all his fault. I mean, of course. I mean, everything just broke down.
Right. And so we're seeing the resurgence from the Galaxy. And obviously it is disappointing that it didn't happen sooner. It should have happened sooner. But that common denominator that has been
there. I'm living in the now, man. It doesn't matter anymore.
It is, we are past the dark ages, as I'm going to call them. And we're now in the Renaissance, baby. We're turning this around. And the big question right now is, are we back? And I am still.
It's only two games in, of course.
Exactly. It's only two games, but it feels good.
But I
want to
have fun and say, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
MLS Cup, bitches.
That's kind of how I feel. Like, I'm the same way. Bobby, I know you're enjoying this. I'm enjoying this. I mean, we're all enjoying this. You are the most out of all of us. You're the one that says, dude, there's not enough information. We haven't played enough
games. I'm the most hesitant.
Right. And
when it comes from the beginning.
Right.
Yeah.
And so to see you buy into it so quickly, it's obviously – There's a reason for this, and I think there's a good reason.
Can you recite me? I don't know if you can right now, off the bat of your head.
Top of my head.
Painsill's stats from Genk last year.
Oh,
like
no!
The big assist and the goals that he did all year. Like it's insane.
He's like he was in the 97th percentile in the entire league. Here's the thing with Painsill.
What I'm trying to get to is just in these two games, if he continues this trend, he will be the MVP of MLS.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I said, the Galaxy cannot afford to miss on your DPs. You have to hit home runs. There is no wait and see approach. There is no like grace period. You got to hit a home run, and it's got to be. I mean, there's no other way around it. With Paintsill, granted, 2 games. It's only 2 games in, but it looks like you hit it. It looks very much like you hit a home run.
He doesn't look like he's going to slow down, dude. He doesn't look like he's going to slow down.
With Paintsill, I thought it was interesting. I'm going to use the word interesting here. He is, or was, at least according to the timeline, he's plan C or D, right? Because you went after Sosa. You went after Solari. There was the very brief period where we took a shot at Pelestri. And then you heard Paintsill's name. So he's like plan C or D. And it looks like this is probably the most perfect fit that the Galaxy could have gotten.
I think every fucking team right now is kind of jealous of what we have.
Oh, I think so. I think so. I think Paintsill has made a name. By the way, this is what I had wanted. Find a no-name, dude. Find someone that nobody has heard of. He will turn into a superstar. Right now, at this moment, he's the face of the Galaxy. It was always Puig for the past couple seasons. Paintsill right now is the face of the Galaxy. When the rumors first came out of Paintsill, the MLS heads, it got their attention. Now, obviously, I had never heard of him. You guys had never heard of him, I'm assuming. And most people, if not all of us.
It's from his record music popularity. Come on.
I was baffled that the MLS heads were going gaga over this guy. They didn't do that for any of the rumors. But they quickly brought out, I mean, they didn't even do it for Peck either. And they...
Yeah, they called him like an up-and-coming, like up-and-coming prospect or whatever. Yeah,
Peck was more of... They made Peck more of a thing than Paintsill.
No.
You don't think so?
No. I'm saying it's the other way around. They made Paintsill more of a thing. Yeah. So much so...
I felt it the other way. Okay.
No. Peck was more like...
Who was it, Bob? Who was it, Lewis? It was Tom Bogert that was like, if the Galaxy managed to land Paintsill... They might be like the dark horse of the league.
You have to see what they're you'd have to see how they work out. But yeah, like Tom Berger, Andrew Wiebe, like all the MLS heads were ready, like, whoa, hold on a second, this is a game changer. Wait a second, okay, wait a minute. I've never heard of this guy. I don't know who this guy is, what's going on? All of a sudden you have like a table of like his stats, and offensively, he's in the top 97 percentile. Right?
Yeah, he's insane.
He's always involved. They were showing like the heat map of his movements. They're saying all this info came out, and eventually, someone said he's probably the best player in the Belgian league. There was a time before we even signed him that I want to say it was Edgar from Nag News who pointed it out that on the MLS website, there was already a profile for Paintsill. And he asked, he goes, is it normal that MLS does profiles for players that aren't in the league? Like, as if, like, okay, does the league know that this is going to happen? Or is the league excited that this player is coming in? And I thought to myself, like, okay, a lot of people are going gaga over this guy I've never heard of. And a bunch of stuff is coming out. This is obviously grabbing people's attention. People with more knowledge than I do, it's grabbing their attention. And they're talking about the Galaxy. So much so that even I said, and you guys know this, I'm sure I mentioned it in the pod. I told one of my friends, I go, at the moment that I get any indication that Paintsill is pretty damn near to signing, we are betting on Galaxy to win MLS Cup. Only because of the odds that they're giving us. I have not checked the odds, but I got to figure that those odds have diminished after seeing Paintsill and seeing the power rankings and seeing how we played. This really was a game changer.
Yeah.
This is 100% a game changer.
Look, it's not just the power rankings. Let me just say this real fast, what I was trying to reference earlier on. During the 2022-23 Belgian Pro League season, Paintsil notched 28 goals, contributions, 14 goals and 14 assists in 30 league appearances, 28 starts. If we can get something like that this year, that's insane.
I think it's over.
But you know,
it's close.
But it's not just that. Let me just say something really quick. I love this guy. His post-match comments, his personality, just who he is. Man, I love his vibe. He's very positive. I think he said, I heard him say this. I was talking to a friend and I was telling them about this. I go, if we continue to play the way we play like this, we're going to kill teams. Just you watch us. We're just going to kill them. And I'm paraphrasing. It's nearly almost like that.
That's almost what he said.
Yeah, yeah. So, but like that's exactly what I thought after the San Jose game. I was like, if we continue to play this way, oh my God, we're going to be incredible. And then again, you know, like as I mentioned in Balls and Beers, and this is a team right now without their other $10 million DP player. You know, we're completely flying, totally fine, and just come in. He's not even a super sub. He's not even a super. He hasn't done anything super as a sub. He's gonna come in slowly. We're not even worried about him right now.
I think that
he'll definitely fit into the team later, but I would not call him a super sub right now because he's done nothing super yet.
I think that the jury's still out on Peck for obvious reasons. Obviously, we haven't seen enough of him.
Yeah, because he hasn't been really put in the team yet.
Right.
And he's been put in the situations where the games are kind of over,
which is kind of a good thing considering that. Well, except for the Miami game, and I think he kind of did have some sort of an impact. I think the goal came after he put in.
In both games, he had good chances, but it was only like one in both games. And it's fine. But I'm just saying, like, the minutes he's had, he hasn't really been able to contribute too much. He's not a game changer yet. We haven't really seen who he is yet. And it's fine. That's completely fine. But what I'm emphasizing is it's amazing how good we're playing without having to rely on our second DP right now and just be like, all right, go ahead, go get married and come back later.
Yeah. You know? No, I mean that's 100% accurate. I agree with that. I do believe that obviously with Paintsil there, he is the dynamic player. He is the game changer. He is currently, as I said, he's the face of the Galaxy right now. And you're hoping nothing happens.
And that's credit to Fagundes. I gotta give credit to Fagundes because he's handling up that wing.
Everybody is doing their part, but that's
Peck's position is what I'm trying to say. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
But yeah. But I mean, it's everybody.
Everybody is stepping up. Everybody is doing what they're supposed to be doing. Everybody is feeling good. For me personally, obviously the difference is, again, common denominator is gone. And I look forward to games now. I think I had mentioned it last year or maybe the year before that. I said, you know, it's a chore to watch the games. You know that you still watched it because it's your team, but you knew that you were going to be in for a grueling 2 hours. You knew that you're like, we probably don't have a chance to win this game. And even if we don't have a chance to win this game, we probably won't even look competitive. We won't look competent, like at all. It was really brutal to watch. And now, I'm assuming that every Galaxy fan is as confident as this team is projecting themselves to be, right? We are looking forward to game day believing that maybe we won't win this game. Obviously, it's inevitable that we're going to lose. So maybe we won't win, but we're not going to look bad. And you have a hope that even if you have an off day, you bounce back.
At this point,
you know,
if they're going to beat us, it has to be a good-ass team.
Here's the thing with me. The only thing for me personally is the the psychological damage that the Dark Ages, you know, put on me. We went through it all. And I'm still waiting for something to drop. Like something to come in and just tear it all down. And I shouldn't be thinking that way because I'm enjoying this as, I mean, like you said, enjoy this as much as you can. Because who you are in March is not who you are in September, right? And a lot of things can happen. I feel like we're Mr. Burns. We went through everything. We've gone through everything. We have every disease known to man. And we're currently indestructible because of it. But the smallest thing can bring it all down. And that's kind of what I feel. Like, we all feel so great, but what if that injury bug decides to reside back in our locker room and Paintsill goes down, and Peck goes down, and Yamani goes down? And those things can't happen because we had, like, the entire starting lineup out last season. Or Koontz is involved in a scandal and he has to resign, which has also happened, by the way. Like, we've gone through all of this, and I feel like...
Like the resign.
What's going to happen?
I am sitting down.
Yeah, it's so... Like, I shouldn't be like that.
Whatever, but, man. Like, it's roll with the punches. Just stop. Jesus Christ. Stop it.
You're going
to speak to a therapist, bro. Stop worrying about things that are not happening.
Oh, my God. Lewis is the best at doom.
Oh, yeah, of course. It has to be me doing that.
Around the corner.
It's 100% me.
100%.
But don't get me wrong. I am enjoying every moment.
But that's the case in everything. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So, like, just enjoy it now.
So it shouldn't surprise. If it looks good. It shouldn't surprise that it's coming from
because
me.
It's inevitably good. It's inevitable. Even if this entire season is fantastic and we win MLS Cup, let's just say that's insane, right? Even if that happens, it's inevitable that in a year or so, something's going to happen. We're going to break down. It's going to happen. Like, it's just going to happen.
No,
so just enjoy if we're doing well right now.
If we win MLS Cup, Lewis is going to be like, oh, great. Now we're going to have extra games next year for Champions Cup.
Yeah. Well,
great.
Yeah.
Like, now we have the Club World Cup to look forward to. We're going to tank 2025 because we're focused on getting rocked by Madrid and whoever else is in that tournament.
Oh, great. We got invited to Libertadores.
I draw the line there. I'd be ecstatic.
No, you wouldn't. Oh, we're going to get rocked by a third division from Chile or whatever. I don't know. Let's talk about the
game. Cannot happen.
I know. let's talk about the actual game, the San Jose victory. A goal from Joseph Paintsill, probably one of the most electric plays of the night. A tap-in by Dejan after we were all kind of going – you know, getting frustrated with what we were seeing from him. He gets the tap in. And we had a lot of but steals after that tap in. And then, because it was Paintsill that did all the work on that one? It was, right? Paintsill had the assist on that?
It was mostly Paintsill on
that. He did all the work on that. And then the assist to Ricky Pooj by Dejan. Great run. Great play.
So good.
Again, Dejan is looking like a guy who feels like he needs to redeem himself. The goal that he scored last week, he went to celebrate and then he immediately goes and points to who was it? The assistant of Delgado, right?
Delgado.
He points to Delgado. He gives Delgado the credit. This week it was Paintsill. He didn't even try to celebrate.
He
just pointed straight to Paintsill. He was like, no, that guy, that's the guy. Right. So I feel like Dejan knows that he's got a lot to make up for. And he may not be like, he may not make the best decisions, but dude, he just has to be in there to knock down the goals.
Which is what we had set up for
him. No, that's fine. No, I get it. I get it.
This is the plan. This was the plan.
We've all said that he needs to be there to knock in goals and stuff, but we all do want to see a little bit, a slightly more. And this is where I am going to track back my comments. I've rewatched the last two games. I can only say personally for me, I've been very, very, very critical on Dejan. And these last two games, when I rewatch the games, he's done very well. There's just very little mistakes. He's placed himself in good situations. Of course, certain things doesn't play out well, but when Painsill is there, Delgado's there, everything, like, it works beautiful. And he doesn't have to do much. This one, at least, with the one where Painsill was there, he had to actually, he had a little bit of a challenge because the goalkeeper was kind of in front of him. In contrast of the one with where Delgado tapped it in, he had an open-ass goal. So there was a little bit of a challenge. And then, you know, and then, but then also just the sense of getting that beautiful assist back to Puig. I'm stepping back. I'm stepping back on the criticism, and I'm giving De Jong some praise.
So we said that this was the plan. You had to bring two DP wingers who would do the heavy lifting, and all De Jong had to do was tap it in. And that's literally what's happened. That's literally what's happened the first two games with him. Two goals, two games, and in front of the goal. With, you know, without having to create, without having to dribble, one was a open net tap in, and the other one, you say, it was more difficult, but it was still essentially a very makeable
nearly
goal.
The same.
This was the plan. This is how we assumed it would be drawn up, and it's what happened. And, you know, when you're a striker, we said this many times, when you're a striker, you can have a bad game for 89 minutes. You just have to score that one goal and everyone will sing your praises. And that's kind of what's happening with De Jong right now. You know, up until the goal in against Miami, he was disconnected. He was not really involved. It looked like he was just kind of behind everyone.
And that's what I'm trying to say. I'm backtracking because I rewatched that game. It wasn't as bad as when I first criticized. It's not as bad. He was a lot more involved than I remembered when I rewatched the game.
I would have to go back and see. I did see the first half of the Miami game. I don't remember. Again, I don't remember him being that involved or making, you know, runs that would put him in that position. It looked like he was the one that was just kind of like out of place. I felt the same way against San Jose. I felt like whenever he got the ball, he would lose it or he would have a bad touch. He'd make the incorrect decision, bad pass, or, you know, whatever. And then, of course, the goal drops or his goal drops. And everything kind of goes away. Well, he scored two goals. Right. You know, I get it. It's a poacher. You just have to, you know, hey, I'm wide open. Nobody in front of me. Give me the ball. Thank you. And, you know, that's how it happens. I am criticizing him. I'm still criticizing him for everything aside from the goal. But if you're the striker and that's all you're supposed to be doing, then it's hard to kind of continue that criticism. And if this is the way that we said it's supposed to happen, that everyone else is going to do the heavy lifting while Dalen's just going to sit there and just, you know, tap it in, and everything's going according to plan. And once again, it's hard to criticize that. And right now, at the moment, everyone is firing on all cylinders. And we still haven't really reached our, I don't want to say potential, but I don't think we have seen the best of the Galaxy, with Peck still not really in the starting lineup, getting, you know, very small minutes.
Just everybody getting familiarized.
Right, exactly.
It's just the second damn game.
Exactly. I think that there's still room for improvement. And I think that's obviously crucial as you're going forward, because I still don't believe the Galaxy have been truly tested yet. Again, you had a Miami team that played midweek,
it's,
and then
it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be a while before they get truly tested. I think
it'll be St. Louis.
Nope. Oh no, you're right. Home. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. St. Louis might be your first test, and then followed by Kansas City on the road. Those are your big tests, and of course you have Seattle coming in. I mean,
maybe we don't know about Seattle yet.
We don't know. I have to imagine that Seattle at some point. Yes, at some point they're gonna get it together.
Yeah, but like you said, they're getting older, you know, and the Galaxy got younger.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll just have to wait and see. But let's get back to the San Jose game.
Yeah,
this is a game where I feel like they kind of stepped on San Jose's neck. They were not gonna let them into the game.
100%.
Oh yeah,
100%.
And I don't, God, I can't remember a Galaxy team that has done that. I think we have to go back to like the 2012 or 2011 season to see that for this team.
I think the second half is 2014, maybe, but I think you're right. I think you'd have to go back to 2011.
I mean, I think you're right. You're definitely right, but I don't think it was because of that. I think this is the team had something to prove no matter what team they were playing against that day. It had nothing, you know, it wasn't because it was the El Clasico. It had nothing to do because it was San Jose. It was because they had to prove that they are the better team now and they're going to dominate.
I think Painter was asked about, you know, scoring against a rival and he had no idea, which is what I said. That's cool,
but I don't care.
Right. Which is exactly what I had said. Like, these are a bunch of new players. I don't think anybody is going to tell them the history of the rivalry of San Jose. Everyone will 100% tell them we're beating LAFC. This is the team that you're targeting. You want your rival? This is it right here. I don't think anyone's saying that for San Jose. And I think Painter will kind of prove that. And I don't think it matters, to be honest. I think you should be, you know, still be getting up for every game. Obviously, against your arch rival, there will inevitably be another level. If you're at your max level, you go up another level. I think it's just like natural for that to happen in sports. But I still feel like, okay, doesn't matter who you're playing. It could be a bottom feeder, or it could be, you know, the top team in the conference. You got to go out there and play your hardest. You got to go out there and act as if this is a championship must-win game. And the Galaxy started off rough. You know, I think it was, when did we score? 20th minute?
Yeah, it was pretty early.
It was like the 15th or 20th minute that we ended up scoring. Let me bring it up. 18th. We scored in the 18th. So up until that point, we were not on the ropes. San Jose did not have us on the ropes, but they were at the time the better side. They were the ones pushing the envelope a little bit more. I know McCarthy had to make like a save or two. You know, they had more corner kicks in that.
That was a really good shot. And he had a good, save.
I want to say two. I don't entirely remember. I want to say there was two, but it doesn't matter. You know, they're pushing forward. You had more corner kicks in those opening 15 minutes than you had the entire game, I believe, against Miami. So obviously different circumstances. You're at home. In the first game, you're on the road in the second game. So it's going to be a little bit different. You're going to play a little bit differently. And for the first 15 minutes, San Jose were landing punches. It wasn't the knockout punch or was it the knockdown punch, but they were the one landing punches. Make no mistake, the Galaxy were not on the ropes, but they, if we're going through boxing analogies, they were getting outboxed. They were getting hit. Until the Galaxy landed their counter. And that's when San Jose said, whoa, hold on a second. What's going on here? And from that moment on, I don't want to say the Galaxy dominated, but from that moment on, they were the better side. And statistically, it was kind of insane the way the Galaxy did this. Let me go ahead and run down the stats for the game. We won the possession battle 53-47, and I'll tell you right now that most of that came from in the second half when they were just basically – the game was already done, and they were just killing the game. You can see that they were just passing side to side, really weren't attacking the same way that they were in the first half. They weren't countering anymore. They're just basically killing this game off, and I think a lot of the possession – or at least the reason the Galaxy had advantage in the possession was because of that. Because up until that point, San Jose was winning the possession battle, and it didn't matter. These are the eye-opening stats here. This is kind of crazy. The Galaxy had six shots. Six shots the entire game. Every single one of those shots were on goal. And half of them went in.
That's great.
That is what you call efficient. Yeah. That is what you call accurate. This is what you want to see, especially on the road. You made the most of every chance you got. three big chances. You missed one, and I can't recall what that one was. I genuinely can't recall what, like, where did we miss it? And, oh, you know what it was? It might have been the Paintsill breakaway. It might have been that. I'm not sure. But I still think he was still kind of far. Yeah, it might have been that where, like, we were already up 3-0. It would have been 4. I want to say that might have been it. He was
kind of one-on-one with the goalie, kind of. Yeah. There was a defender there, but.
Oh, yeah. I want to say it was that one. Either way, they had three big chances. They missed one of them. Six shots. All of them were on goal. Compared to double, 12 shots for San Jose. Only three of those were on goal. Expected goals, 1.6 for the Galaxy on just six shots is absolute. Again, it is phenomenal. It is efficient. 0.77 for San Jose. The Galaxy right now, as far as expected goals, they're in the top five for expected goal difference with a plus. They're at plus 3.5. So obviously they're doing good, they're creating, and they're overachieving for what they're actually putting up. They're number two. Guesses on who number one is? Might surprise
DC
you.
DC United.
It is DC United.
Ha ha.
It is DC United at 4.9. I still don't know how DC United is. I still don't know what kind of team they are. But to be fair, I honestly still don't entirely know the Galaxy. Like I said, I'm still waiting for something, but at least you're looking good. The bottom, by the way, the last one is probably – this should be fairly easy. Who's the lowest?
Colorado.
No, it is not Colorado. They're not even in the bottom five.
The bottom five.
So who's the worst one? Colorado would be a good guess. It's not Colorado.
Shots on target?
No. Expected goals, the difference, the negative side.
I don't know.
It's Austin.
New England? Oh, Austin.
New England's number two.
Oh, Austin.
New England is number two. Again, 2 weeks in, not reading anything into this. It's just kind of fun to play around with the numbers like that. I don't think they dominated San Jose, but they certainly outplayed them. I think in every aspect. I think defensively, they had another good game. One mistake. Still don't have the clean sheet. But defensively, I think they have improved.
It was a wild ball. And McCarthy did get a hand on it. It was unfortunate.
Yeah. Good for him. We kind of figured that Preston Judd was going to get his, right?
Yeah. It's like the last two games. Like, we gave the goals to, like, all right, Messi. Okay, Judd. All right.
Messi, Judd. Yeah, they belong in the same conversation.
Yep. No, but you know what I mean. Like, Messi, you're the star. Judd, oh, you're a homie, you know?
Kind of. Right. Well, I think, who was it? Was it Eli Lesser who said, we only give up goals to legends? And that's fine. And that's fine. Obviously, a much improved defensive side. We talked about how, San Jose is obviously going to be younger than Miami, probably a little bit quicker, and I don't think it mattered. I think, for the most part, they shut it down. The one goal, I think
Miami
it was,
played better than San Jose. I mean, come on.
I want to say
they did.
Come on, Lewis.
I don't know. The game. I mean, I'll rewatch the game, but I will say that we had a defensive masterclass against Miami. Like, I'm sorry, we shut that team down.
Well, yeah, because they were a better team. They were the better team. So, like, that's what I'm saying. San Jose
Miami is by far a better team. Whether they play better against the Galaxy, I can probably argue that one. But I will say that, yes, Miami, if Miami went toe-to-toe with or head-to-head against San Jose on the road or at home, I don't think it matters. Yeah. Miami is a better team. Yes, they are the better team.
But they did play as better than San Jose. They were the better team in both games.
Paintsill makes team of the match week, well deserved. Miki Yamaha also makes team of the match. Yamani, there's no autocorrect here. Yamani makes the bench. David, you had mentioned last week. I had no idea that Yamani, or maybe it was this week through text, I had no idea Yamani was in the game. And that is a really, really good thing.
Yeah.
And yes, 100%. 100%.
He was solid, but he was not noticeable at all. Like, he just went in there, did his job. He was great.
There was a couple of sweeps there that I noticed, and I was like, damn, that's some awesome work right
You know
there,
who I Yamani. Did notice pretty significantly in this game, and I kind of have to eat my hat a little bit on this one, is Caceres.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were
going to
say
Audrey. No.
I don't know why.
No.
Why?
Oh, yeah.
Why do you have to eat your hat?
Because I thought he was done.
I told you he was back last week.
I thought he was done.
He saved that ball where that little moment Yoshida fucked up.
Yoshida messed up. And he did that amazing, backtrack to get a foot on that ball. My God, what a, like, you know, that's like 20-something-year-old Caceres right there. Not that's 37 right or 38.
That's right now. You know what I mean? It happened right now.
That's what I'm saying. But like, that's the vintage that I was thinking about when I saw him do that.
One of the things that is going to go overlooked, and it shouldn't, and it's obviously not going to come up in any stats, because you're talking about Caceres, I think this is the first time that I noticed it in the game. And then as the game goes on, you'll see it, that everyone else is doing it too. And for what it's worth, they did it in the Miami game as well. There was, it was still 0-0, I believe. And there was a ball that was played to Yoshida, and Yoshida made a mistake. And it was going to a San Jose player. And they basically were about to score. It was almost like a free shot. Then all of a sudden, you see Caceres coming at the bottom of your screen, getting in there, playing some scramble defense, and disrupting it enough to where nothing came of that.
Yeah, that's mistake. The play that I'm referring to right now.
Right.
Yeah, he's just reiterating.
Right. My point is that it's not just him.
Narration.
It's not just him, and it's not just that play. The difference in the team that I'm seeing, at least right now through the first two games, there is a hustle behind them that we didn't see for a majority of the last season.
So you think last season that happens and people just drop their heads and they're like, fuck.
Well, I mean, to be fair, when that happened, I was like, oh no. Like, we're about to go down. Then, like I said, all of a sudden, Caceres comes in the screen and just disrupts it. Everybody is hustling. Everybody is playing defense. Everybody's in there.
They're working for each other.
Exactly. They are the work rate on the field. And again, I'm not saying that it never happened last year. I wouldn't pull it against the players
for working with each other or not hustling. It was just super disorganized. And again, at a certain point in the season, Caceres wasn't there anymore. A lot of our better players weren't there anymore. There was a lot of injured fools.
And there was a lot of inconsistencies as well.
Yeah,
right.
And it was so disbanded. So
yeah. So, but I do feel like right now that they are playing as a team. They all have that sense of urgency. Like, nope, we're not getting scored on right now. Nope, I'm recovering. So far, everyone has kind of recovered when someone has made a mistake. With the exception of the goal that was made by Messi, you chalk that up to you were down. You were down a man, and so
If Delgado was still on that field, I'm not sure if that goal would have.
I agree 100%. So, as of right now, this team is full speed ahead. I don't think we've seen the best of them, and I'm hoping that I'm correct in that. I'm hoping that this team continues to improve. They have.
I mean, Brugman hasn't even played a full 90 yet either.
That's the other thing. Surreal has been lights out.
Surreal's been so good.
So we haven't done it yet. Who was – this is tough. This is a good thing, by the way. Highest rated player.
I think
this Dayon. Has to be Paint Sill.
Dave?
Dayon.
I would have said Paint Sill, obviously, because of the goal, of the assist, Team of the team. No, he has one. One goal, oh, one assist. Team of the match week. It's kind of like, okay, it's gonna be Payne still. It isn't. It's Dejan. It is Dejan Jovetic. He also had a goal and assist. They both got subbed out at the same time. They both came out in the 63rd minute, which I did like, by the way. That game was over. Yeah. You had no reason to go in there and leave them in there for 90 minutes. Yes, absolutely. No reason to keep them in there. So I have no problem with those subs. 8.4 rating for Jovetic. Who was the second highest rated player?
Well, I'm still sticking with Paintsill then.
Yeah, it's Paintsill. You said it was like they were neck and neck. They both had a goal and assist.
Right.
It's Paintsill.
It isn't. It's Ricky Pooj. It's
Ricky Pooj.
It's Ricky Pooj with it. Just the one goal. And he was – No, he did not. He did not. But he
killed it. But he killed it all game.
Yeah.
And 8.2 for Ricky Pooj. And the third, well, I'll just say it is Paintsill at number three. Your team of the match, match week player,
all is three goals,
the third rated on the team. And again, we don't take this like like the end all of stats and everything. But 8.1 for Paintsill. Who? A harder question. Who was the lowest rated player in this game?
Jeez, dude,
McCarthy.
I mean. Really?
It's usually the goalie no reason.
No, I would have to give it to Adey.
Yeah, I guess go down the rest of the team. You're not giving it to Fagundes or Cerrillo or Yamane.
Absolutely not. Well, the only reason I would give it to Delgado is because he has the yellow card. But he...
Delgado. Yeah,
but he killed it. But then again, you know how yellow cards work. So
here's the thing. I also would have probably said Yoshida because he made a couple mistakes. But again, those don't really come up in the stats. They're
so minimal.
Yeah. As far as the eye candy, or as far as the visual, not the eye candy, but as far as the visual is concerned, I probably would have said Yoshida. And even then, I wouldn't have he didn't have a bad game per se. But officially, I'm just going to say the all three because this is kind of tough. But ironically, David, you hit all three. You just didn't know it. You said, You said, I guess Audi because I can't give it a Fagundes. Is and I can't give it to Cerrillo. Those are your bottom three right there.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Cerrillo is the one that's like, what the hell is going on? And that's why we don't take this like too seriously.
But obviously, I also thought Fagundes had a great game too. Like,
yeah,
Fagundes
had a great game.
Exactly. So the lowest rated player is officially Audi at 6.3, then Fagundes at 6.6, and Cerrillo at 6.9. Delgado with his yellow card. 8.0.
Oh, because he was sick.
Yeah.
Because he was sick.
Yep. Rounding out the defense, which is probably where you're looking. He
gets
a red
card, gets rescinded, gets into a game, gets another yellow card. He doesn't give a fuck.
Right? Right? You would have to look at the defense to say, okay, it has to be somewhere on the defense. Yeah, probably his McCarthy, right? Didn't really have to do too much. Only had, two saves? And one of them, one goal went in. It had to be McCarthy. I probably would have said Yoshida. Aude had a quiet game as well. But as Yamani did, where you didn't really notice it. But I also didn't see Aude stand out, where I did see Yamani, kind of involved. But rounding out the defense, you have so Audi at 6.3, Yamani at 7.8, Cáceres at 7.1, and Yoshida at 7.0. This team, as I said, I don't see that game and say, wow, there's your weak link. I know going into the season we said it was Audi, and technically I think that's still accurate. But
barely, he's not in the same way we saw it before or were critical before. It's nowhere near the same.
But once again, I'm not sure that the Galaxy have been truly tested. The defense is still hasn't come up against, an elite offense,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so there's still skepticism here. I go back to the Sasha Kljestan comments where a lot of people got rubbed the wrong way. I don't understand why. He's 100% accurate on everything that he said. So I don't know why people got – I mean,
get their feelings
hurt. I get that Galaxy fans are very, very sensitive when somebody says something about the team. I understand that. But Sasha Kljestan did not say anything wrong, nor did he say anything inaccurate. One person actually mentioned that he kind of threw shade at the defense. I'm like, right. But the fact that this defense has been, you know, the way it has been since, you know – but no, 2016, they were still pretty good. So 2017 and on, they've had a defensive problem. Yeah, I think it's pretty fair for him to say, I'm not kind of sold on the defense after one freaking game, right? And I agree there. I do admit that they're improved, but they also haven't been tested yet. The Galaxy will inevitably lose. This is MLS. No one's going to go undefeated in MLS, no matter how good you are. So inevitably, they will lose. But for me, it's more of a question, okay, how do you respond? We got to remember that Vanny, in his first year, said, we are not losing more than 2 games in a row. And for the first half of the season, they were able to accomplish that. I have to imagine that some similar goal has to be here. Like, we are not losing more than 2 games in a row. We will inevitably lose, but we are not going on a losing streak. And I think as of right now, I think this
Please don't bring back not going on a losing streak mode from last year to me.
Well, it's not last year. This is 2021. You got to remember that 2021, you know, like...
I'm just saying, remember when we floated on that 13th place for so long and everybody was like, oh, but we're unbeaten?
Asterix.
I don't want to deal with that shit.
I said asterix the whole time. I want to put that out there. I was like, yeah, we're unbeaten, but asterix.
We were unbeaten. We're asterix. Unbeaten since...
Stop it.
I'm just saying, I acknowledge that we were unbeaten. Right, exactly. But asterisk, because we dropped a lot of points. Even though we were not losing, we were dropping points in the process. By the way, you know, obviously right now we're looking good. And I'm still worried. I mentioned that at the beginning of the show. I'm still worried, like, okay, when is this hammer going to fall? Because we've been down this road. Well, of course.
It's going to happen.
But we've been through this before where we looked good in 2021. They started off very hot in that first half before they had their epic meltdown in the second and missed the playoff in the final 15 seconds of the season. But so we've been down the road where, like, hey, you look good up through May or June. Then what happens, right? So we hope one of the question marks going in our preview was, can you be consistent? How consistent can you be? So far, so good. You got 2 games and you've looked consistently good. Can you keep up that pace for 34 games? You know, can you avoid the injury bug, which is, again, a big question mark? And so far, so good. You didn't lose anybody in preseason. You haven't lost anybody or had a scare in any of the first 2 games. So far, so just good.
One more player needs to heal.
It's Neil, and I think Brugman is still. Neil, I think we had talked about it. That
he's pretty much
almost there, Surreal is so good.
Yeah, I mean he's kind of solid.
We're gonna need that squad rotation though. We're gonna need the squad rotation eventually.
Another difference in that. Oh, our DP guy isn't there. That's no worries. Fagundes is still doing very, very well.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, Surreal needs a break. Guess what? We're going to bring in Brugman, who, at least on paper, for what he has showed us when his time, you know, before he got injured, is probably better than Surreal.
So, I mean, he should
there's not really a drop off there. It's just crazy that you could start Surreal. Let's say you're either down a goal or you're tied at the moment. And you start bringing in your subs, and you go in and say, okay, I'm going to take out Fagundes, I'm bringing in Peck, and then I'm going to take out Surreal, and I'm going to bring in Brugman, and your team somehow got better. it's insane. This is something that we have yet to see in so long.
It's true, but I don't think I honestly don't think that's going to be the case in the next few months. It's going to be the opposite.
But let's say it is the opposite. I agree with
no,
you.
No, it's still good.
Peck,
no, it's still
Peck
good.
Starts. We're going to need something. Okay, cool. We have a veteran in Fagundes who's still very capable. Maybe he's not the game changer that, say, Payne Steele coming off the bench or Peck coming off the bench is. But guess what? You have – there's not that much of a drop-off. There's not that much of a drop-off coming if you got rid – not got rid. But if you subbed off Peck and you brought in Fagundes, that isn't a huge drop-off. Oh, we're going to take out Brugman and put in Surreal. That is not that much of a drop-off. It's kind of insane that this is happening. And when Neil comes back and you start doing your rotations, well, guess what? Either Yoshida or Cáceres is going to be – or Neil will be on the bench ready to come in for a squad rotation. I think the only place that you really have like a drop-off is probably behind Yamani, right? That's probably where you're going to have your drop-off. Who is it? Cuevas? I think it's also, Cuevas right now, right? So it's yeah, like that's also, probably where you're going to have your drop-off. And then if Payne Steele ever comes off when yeah, Perez, you need like something, right.
That would be kind of slow and low. But and who would take Delgado's area?
Well, you could. The thing is that you actually have like flexibility with these players where, you know, you can intersect.
Sure.
Interchange Peck and yes. Payne Steele. And then move around because, you know, Brugman, Surreal is not an offensive player. He stays back, which allows Delgado to go forward. So let's say you take out Delgado and you put Brugman in there. It's the same thing. And you keep Surreal or some sort of combination. Like, there's options now. And again, who knew that you needed someone competent to create a team? And right now, it looks like – I don't think our depth is that deep. But our depth is not too bad.
It's not super deep, but it's better. It's much better than
what it's we've much had. Better. And you know, you can bring in players that can make a difference, and you can rotate, and you can still be competitive, and you can still, you know, even with Dayon out, you put Barry. It's a different dynamic with him in there.
I think Barry's fine.
So, it's a feeling that we have not had in a long time. It's a great feeling. As I said, before it was like you kind of dreaded watching these games. You knew what you were going to get yourself into. And now it's I can't wait for the next game. Like, I can't wait for Nashville. I mean, I broke down like, hey, I'm not giving Vanny any leeway for your first 10 games, right? You have a brutal schedule. I'm not giving him any leeway. I'm not saying they're going to lose, but this is a tough game. 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 And now I'm like, they're still tough games, but you know what?
More winnable, more achievable,
it feels like, dude, even if we lose, I don't think we're favored to lose. Like, we're not going in there like, yeah, there's no way we're winning this game. I look at anyone, I'm like, I think I'm on right now. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
I think that's the right, like, thing to look at is like, yeah, we can take him on right now.
Yeah.
And
I think the players feel the same way.
That's what Payne Steele has been saying.
The players believe it. I think the players right now are on a high that's like we can beat anybody right now.
Let's kill some teams, man.
But that's exactly how I'm feeling. The Galaxy feels like that boxer that goes into the ring and is ready to kick that fool's ass and is not worried about it. He's not scared. He knows he's gonna come in and just punch the fool in the face. Like he just knows it.
And I think
that's literally how I feel, or that's the vibe I'm getting from the Galaxy right
100%.
Now. 100%. But into it.
But like that boxer, the Galaxy has not yet get punched in the face either.
Yeah.
So
that's also true.
They have to be ready for that. They have to be ready for that. They have to be ready for that bounce back.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I like that they're feeling confident right now. I like that they want to have that killer instinct. I like that they're brand new guys that just got here a couple weeks ago. It sound like they're fully bought into what they're asking them to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's what I
these are all good. Really good about. Yeah. These are all really, really good signs. And the fact that you have this type of confidence, this type, like the quotes that you're getting from your new players, it's, you just started. Like, you probably don't see this until a little bit, like, further down the road where, like, okay, it took them some time to settle in, to understand the system, to, you know, get familiar with the rest of your team. And these guys just fit in. Yamani, I think.
Oh yeah, there's moments that it seems like they're just playing.
Yeah,
like on the playground, not like playing a game. Like they're playing on the playground. Like
I mean,
I was saying that the Gato's cheeky. Like he does all these little back heels now.
The first goal and what you're saying with Delgado, that first goal, it's like look back and watch it. Like they're on the same page. Like they're 100% on the same page. They mm-hmm. know. Yeah, and again, they've only been playing together for that was their second game playing together. Like Painsa wasn't even there in preseason. And
no, he just flew just like Zlatan, kind of.
Just
straight up played on straight, got here, placed in the game. Yeah, in the first game, Miami game, straight up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Started.
It is it's very encouraging to see all this happening, obviously. And it is again a feeling that has been foreign to Galaxy fans, and yeah, we deserve this. We deserve to be happy. We deserve to get past what we went through and look forward. Are we back? I think time will tell. I think we need a few more games. But as Bobby said,
I'll still wear the shirt. We're back, but, right. But it's only two games. But it's only two games.
I was actually going to give you an idea for like a video content. Once I'm ready to show it, like okay, we have to do this. It does signify that we're back. But again, I can't say it yet. We're on the right track. We're 100% on the right track. But we need a few more games. I think St. Louis is probably your first test, and nothing against Nashville. It's just that. You're in the Champions Cup. You're going to be tired. I think the only one that's going to be extra motivated for that game is Tyler Boyd, who probably will score. But I just feel like it's still kind of like a depleted side because of the extra game. There won't be that against St. Louis. You're at home. It's a good team. They won Champions Cup, won on the road, and won. So it will be a good test for the Galaxy. And again, even if they pass that test and they win, it doesn't necessarily mean we're back, but you can definitely see how the
performance is as well.
Yeah, right, though. Right. And that's obviously a big thing. How do you perform? Are you just squeaking by? And that was the other thing. Like, you didn't go into San Jose 1 and you just squeaked by, or you got lucky.
No.
Or, you know, it was, dude, you won the game. You were the better team. You deserve to win that game. So even if that happens against St. Louis, again, it's still early. It would only be four games, still very early, but you are definitely moving in the right track. And I think if we get a good result with a good performance against Nashville, and I think you end up beating St. Louis, I think at that point you'll have the entire fan base saying, I think we're officially back. I think that's when
that'll be the second home game.
It would literally be the second home game.
The second home game. All right, we're all in. Whoa!
Yep.
Hang the banner. Get the banner ready. Clear the space. Yep.
And again, it doesn't get any easier because you go to Kansas City, a stadium that you have historically struggled in, and they are a tricky side. So again, another stiff test. How do you perform there? And then you got Seattle and then LAFC. And I think after that is when you start
this season. I mean, to begin in the season.
To begin the season. By the way,
LAFC is the July 4th one, right?
No, they play on the 4th. They play next month. Away.
April 6th. We're away.
Yeah, they play next month.
April 6th. Yeah, right. We're away.
This is one of the things like I actually didn't mention. The Galaxy right now kind of have everything going for them, including the scheduling. You get a lot of these tough games out of the way in the beginning. So when you get to your dog days, it's probably is when the schedule should be letting up a little bit, right? You're playing the mid-level teams, maybe the bottom feeders. Right now, you're playing some pretty tough games. You're playing Nashville on the road, and guess what? They're playing another tournament. That's a hell of a – you know, Nashville isn't a great team, but they're a playoff team. I think they're a playoff team. And you have the advantage.
That's definitely a solid that the schedule makers did us by giving us that.
Yeah. But we just kind of didn't know it at the time, right? You have St. Louis. That's your first big test, and it's at home, so you still have to go on the road. They're no longer in Champions Cup. I think that would have been ideal if they had beaten Houston, because we don't play Houston for a while. So had St. Louis won, you would have had St. Louis still play in the Champions Cup. That would have been an advantage. You have Seattle, who currently is not doing well. You have, you know, an injury to their new DP. He will be out by the time that they play the Galaxy. So again, that's an advantage to the Galaxy. There's, you know, as brutal as the schedule is, the way they're playing, it's probably a blessing in disguise, because as you get better, you're going to be pounding on, like, or the hope is that you get better and you pound on those mid-level teams as the season progresses. So right now, what I'm saying is everything is kind of going the Galaxy's way. And again, it's been a while since that's happened. Oh, with the exception of obviously that the first game and the referee and those calls. But right now, it seems that the Galaxy are on a upward trajectory. So it's very encouraging. It's a great feeling. I hope it stays for an extended period of time. So can't wait for Sunday to get started.
Any last words, David?
No, man. That's it. Let's go.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening to this episode 322. Saying goodbye with David and Lewis. Nothing more from Lewis.
Bye.
Bye.